all your sporting news, reviews and previews. This is the Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Desk. It's great to have your company for another Friday evening on 90.7 Sin FM. I'm your host Liam Cole tonight. We've got a full house, which is great to see. We've got Jason Evans, Toby Hansen, Jerry M, and the great man, Tanish Prabhu. Welcome, guys.
Second show syndrome for him, eh?
Welcome back.
Thank you very much, mate.
Yes. I'm a bit flat today, Liam. Can't deny.
Why's that?
Panthers won the Stanley Cup. They did it in Game 7. Oilers fan. Very shame. I was on the bandwagon getting excited. Conn McDavid, he won the Conn Smythe. And the Panthers did it. But I smiled when Sergei Bobrovsky held up the cup because, God, he was a brick roller during that series and throughout the playoffs.
We know you've got that Essendon contract. You cannot speak about the Bombers.
That is true.
What are you most looking forward to in this weekend of sport?
It already happened. It was trying to see the Oilers be the first Canadian team to hoist the Stanley Cup since 93, and it didn't happen. That's why I'm flat, Liam. That's why I'm flat.
Jerry, you've got some basketball news tonight.
Yeah, there's been a few different draft picks handed in. We'll start with number one pick, Zachary Risache. So he moved to the Atlanta Hawks. He's a 6'9" catch-and-shoot forward, averaging 10.1 points per game and 3.8 rebounds. And then the second pick, Alex Saar, was a forward drafted to Washington. He played for the Perth Wildcats in the NBL and averaged 9.4 points, 4.3 rebounds and 1.5 blocks in 17.3 minutes per game. And then we had an Aussie, Johnny Furphy. So he was from Maribyrnong College initially and played a season in Kansas and got drafted initially by the Spurs, traded to the Pacers pick 35. He's averaging 14.8 points, 7.5 rebounds, 1.3 assists and 1.8 steals a game. And yeah, he looks to be a prospect for the Aussies in the future. And then finally, we had the Lakers draft Bronny James at pick 55. So he becomes the first father-son duo in NBA history. So he's a 6'2 guard from USC Trojans. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see Bronny and LeBron together.
Pick 55, is he, you know, as probably not as talented as his father, but is he any good or is it just...
He scores some points playing off point guard. So I think coming off the bench, he might make an impact, but I don't see him starting initially at the Lakers.
Pick one and two were Frenchmen. Has France really stepped up their basketball recently?
Yeah, with Wembanyama last year, and with Risache and Saar, I think the French, you know, could be Olympic hopefuls as well come Paris. You never know.
All right. Toby, you got some rugby news.
Yeah, big news coming out of Brisbane this week that Joe Schmidt has announced his Wallabies squad to train over the next couple of weeks and to play Wales in a test next Saturday in Sydney, and then this Saturday after in Melbourne against Wales. They'll then play a third test against Georgia in a couple of weeks' time.
Courtney Beale, 38 years of old, he is back playing rugby union for the Wallabies. Is that a surprise for you?
Yeah, so Curtly Beale's played at the Western Force this year, got picked up about halfway through the Super Rugby season, been playing at Randwick throughout this year in Sydney Shoot Shield. A couple of other big pools, three Victorians were named, and a couple handful, probably three or four extra Red Bulls players from various states played, but three coming out of Harlequins in Melbourne is a big pull for Rugby Victoria.
Absolutely. Good luck to the Wallabies there. As we pause to the news, let's speak about the last few days of the Sin campaign, Pay For Your Sins, where the network aims to raise $10,000 in the month of June. And great news, we have raised almost $11,000 already with 3 days to go. We've got the weekend, so if you can, please donate to the station. Means a lot. $11,000, Jason, that is huge.
Thank you to everyone who took the time out to help contribute to keep ensuring and securing a brighter future for Sin Media. It is going to keep our powerful voices on the end. Let's make it a strong representation, hey?
Absolutely. Jason, you've got some swimming news, is that correct?
Not necessarily swimming news, but we are continuing with just sprinkling in a little bit of Olympics news as Paris is now about a month away. And the government has announced, I think either earlier today or next Friday, I believe it is today, however, as reported in the Sydney Morning Herald, Australian Olympic sports and athletes have received a record-breaking financial boost less than a month out. 2 years, $489 million funding packet from the Albanese government. The beefed up Olympic sports package to be announced by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Sports Minister Annika Wills in Canberra. It is going to feature $283 million injection into high performance sport over the next 2 years, on top of an annual grant of $102.8 million, according to the federal government. Also be a $17.6 million lift in direct athlete funding, major increase in payment to sports, a commitment to enable athletes more access to domestic and international competitions, and better access to top coaches and high performance personnel. That's quoted from the Sydney Morning Herald earlier today. And the Age for the Melbourne. Big deal. Record-breaking funding would probably ensure a much higher and stronger performances for the best best possible outcomes for Australian athletes going forward in international competition, Liam.
Well, they get a lot of private investors, don't they? They get
certainly
Gina
do
Reinhardt,
sponsorship.
Who, you know, gives a lot to Swimming Australia. So that's great news. Let's move on to State of Origin. And it was the Blues that levelled up the series, beating, well, absolutely smashing the Maroons at the MCG. They were 34-0 at halftime. Huge crowd at the MCG of over 90,084 people. Tanish, you were there. How was it?
It was absolutely brilliant. The atmosphere was electric, like, absolutely great to see a lot of people turn out, especially the crowd, 90,000. And New South Wales, a great fight back after a really bad start in the first game. 34-0 in the first quarter. It was just absolutely unbelievable to watch.
Toby, you watched the game. How was it?
Yeah, very one-sided. So, as we've said, the Blues started off really hot and they were up. They were 34-0 at half time. Fair few tries to Zach Lomax. He is also the kicker for the Blues, so he converted 5 of 6. Queensland came hot in the second half, but if it wasn't for a yellow card in the 51st minute, that means 10 minutes in the sin bin, it was probably their game to get back into, but they couldn't quite. They put on 18 points in the second half, won the second half 18-4, but it wasn't enough.
Do you think there was a bit of tension given Reece Walsh's concussion the game before?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So the Blues, obviously, that hadn't impacted the score, but losing Suwali, who's a great talent, going to rugby next year, so this is his last chance at State of Origin. A big loss, but, yeah, there was definitely, they were trying to hit Walsh off the ball, that sort of thing you expect in State of Origin, but definitely a lot of tension in the air in that game, and it now moves into Game 3 in a couple of weeks' time in Brisbane.
Yeah, at Brisbane, Tanish, who do you think will win the State of Origin?
Oh, this is a tough one, but it's at Suncorp, so I'd say good chance we see Queensland making a good fight back for the final game. But I think New South Wales have got this one, they've got the chocolate boxes here, this one, and they've got the opportunity to win this.
Interesting to note, Queensland haven't won at the MCG since 1995. So if you're a Carlton supporter, Queensland still haven't won since 1995. That was the Blues' last flag. I'm riding them off for the premiership.
All right, we're off to a fly here on the Sports Desk. Plenty more coming up, including the Euros and the Cricket World Cup. That's next.
Come on.
Aussie, come on.
Haven't sung that in a while. Tanish and Liam are going to be doing a bit of debating. So during this song, I had to go into the vault. It's a very old abandoned vault here at the Sports Desk, I must say. But it does hold one of the hidden treasures, and we're going to resurrect it for this debate. Be prepared for the hot take chicken to be used during this breakdown. Take it away.
All right, so Australia have been knocked out of the T20 World Cup, losing to Afghanistan and India. They needed Bangladesh to chase 114 against Afghanistan in 20 overs, but Bangladesh needed to get 114 the target in 12.1 overs to somehow qualify for the semi-finals, which is why they really lost Bangladesh. They would have easily chased it down, I felt. What have you made of Australia's World Cup, Tanish?
Oh, look, I'm going to be quite honest.
Please.
As a part-time Australian supporter in this World Cup and a full-time Indian supporter, I'm just gonna say that, and I'm speaking on behalf of all the other fans across the world. They were overconfident. They were overconfident. How so? They were being overconfident where they tried to knock England out of the World Cup, which absolutely failed. And they won. And sorry, which absolutely did. Scotland were knocked out in the end. And their selection was absolutely horrible. But when against Afghanistan, they did not pick Mitchell Starc, but they picked a bloke named Ashton Agar, who is...
Bowled quite well that game.
He bowled well, but he is absolutely horrible.
Really?
I wouldn't trust... it's a spinning deck, sure, but I would have trusted Mitchell Starc with an experience of 34 wickets compared to Ashton Agar, who's got 4 wickets in his World Cup career. So, selection... And their overconfidence, what I'm saying.
Overconfidence. I don't think they would be. I think Andrew McDonald, the coach, would definitely check, put them on notice if they were. I mean, obviously 16 drop catches in the tournament isn't ideal. The lighting was pretty bad, but still not good enough. But
the lighting was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
The lighting. What do you mean by that?
The lighting in the caravan was not great, and obviously the pitches weren't great, Tanish.
Okay, I agree with you on the pitches. The pitches weren't that great, yep. But the lighting, is that the reason why they why you think they've dropped so many catches?
What distinguishes good and bad lighting?
I think.
See, that's a good question right there.
Well, I've never played under lights, mate, but obviously you could tell they were making. Ashton Agar, David Warner were making several gestures about the lighting. Probably
were you
not.
There as well, mate?
Well, no, but given by watching their gestures, what do you think, Toby?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, actually. I think it's the way their demeanour was, I don't think it was bright enough. And when it gets dark like that in the shadows, it does form. I haven't played much cricket under lights, but if it's not bright enough, it's a pretty hard game to play. And I don't think it's the reason why we're out. I also didn't think we were going to beat Afghanistan. I said that last week on the show. But
they're a very good team.
Yeah, they're an excellent side. They're probably, fifth best in the world. But you got to come back to how did we prepare for this World Cup? Did we really take this World Cup super serious? Probably not when you had players rolling in 1 or 2 days before the competition started.
Okay, so Australia... needed to beat India, but they lost by 24 runs. Rohit Sharma played one of the games of his life, 92 off 41 balls. Mitchell Starc in the third over was hit for 29 off one over by Sharma. It was incredible batting, maybe a bit too full the length, but I mean, Stark's been really reliable in white ball cricket for a long time, and T20 cricket, it just shows how fickle it is.
Yeah, definitely. And Rohit Sharma's one of those batsmen. You can't give him an inch, he'll take a metre sort of thing. So, Starc's probably line and length probably wasn't quite right. That third over was... I was watching, I thought we've just lost, the game. Mm. We lost it in
first
that over.
First two overs were quite good. Tim David had a really nice catch of Virat Kohli. Yeah. So, they set the tone early, but, getting hit for so much in one over can change the momentum. And the Aussies, they batted pretty well in that game. Travis Head made 76. Mitchell Marshall's hitting the ball well. Maxwell. And then Axar Patel, Tanish, took an absolute blinder, one-hander right on the boundary. If he doesn't take that, that goes for six. Marsh still bats and maybe the result changes.
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected that him to take that catch. I don't think he actually meant to take that catch either. I think he was just meant to save it as well. But it was just an absolute blinder. Just came out of nowhere. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's have a chat about the semi-finals. So South Africa smashed Afghanistan by 9 wickets. Afghanistan were bowled out for 59 in a tough pitch, Tanish. That was pretty tough conditions.
Yeah, the pitch was absolutely bad for batting conditions. It was definitely like a bowling wicket, so I think Afghanistan should have just won the toss and bowled first there.
Will it be described as a road?
It wasn't a road.
It was not a road.
Roads are flat.
Well, that's good then.
Most of the Afghan batsmen got bowled to peaches. There was good bowling from Jansen, Rabada, and Shamsi as well.
Yep. Just, And India defeated England in the other semi-final comfortably by 68 runs. Rohit Sharma again started with 57. Suryakumar Yadav with 47. And they went on to make 171. England were bowled out for 101. What did we make of this, Tanish?
Yeah, no, it was good to see good to see the batting getting a little bit better compared to the last few games. But, yeah, good win for India. Still a lot of work to do for the final with the bat, but the bowling was absolutely top-notch again from Bumrah, Akshar Patel and Kuldeep Yadav and the spinners, yeah.
England's tournament, though, wasn't too crash hot. They lost to Australia, they lost to South Africa, and now India. They didn't really beat anyone other than the West Indies. Luckily, they made the semi-finals, but it just wasn't their tournament, Toby.
No, it wasn't. Who did they lose to in the group stage as well? They lost to
Australia. That was their first game.
They're losing to the big wigs, but they're at least beatable.
They smashed Oman, USA, Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they almost lost to Scotland, but that was rained out.
Yeah, so. That's right. That's the game I'm thinking of. Yeah, okay. I didn't think they were too crash hot. Obviously, they were, like we said, last week or the week before, they were 30 minutes away from being knocked out of a World Cup. They were never making that final. I thought India was have been too good. India against us looked incredible. And I think India are probably the favourites coming in to this final coming up. I think their run-in has been tougher and it's probably shows them as the better side up against the South African team. Mm.
I think it's a bit of a end of an era for England. I don't think Chris Jordan will be back. Adil Rashid, Ben Stokes, Moeen Ali, Bairstow. What next for England, Tanish?
It's like they said, there's a few chopping changes now. So you got Will Jacks, who's still there, who's still young. I think Butler could be there for another couple of years before they find another captain. Who are the bowlers?
Barely played.
Yeah.
And then they backed in Topley. He was okay. Curran was in and out of the side.
Yeah, so Curran's definitely going to play a few more years. Archer's playing a few more years. I think Topley's done with, especially with the number of injuries he's got, but he's also like in his early 30s maybe. So
yeah. One positive is that we got to see Jofra Archer healthy again, which is good.
I was
going to ask you, Liam, what did you make of Jofra Archer's? Because it was a big thing coming into this World Cup. Joff was back. Mm. What did you make of his World Cup?
A bit patchy, but that's understandable. He's barely played any cricket in the past, 2 years? So I think a real question would be, is he going to play red ball cricket again? Or is it just white ball? He's over 30 now, very injury prone, but it's good to see him back into the team, no doubt.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Obviously, we go to England for a white ball series at the end of September, in August, sorry. Joff probably plays that series, hopefully, and that'd be really good to see, and a real good test for him going into the next 12 months. There's not as much white ball cricket to play going into an off year for no World Cup.
Well, I think it's a good chance for Australia to experiment, maybe give Josh Inglis a bit of a go, maybe try Nathan Ellis more consistently. I think Hazelwood probably won't play any other white ball tournaments anymore, really. Probably Stark as well. They'll probably focus on Test cricket, a bit like what Kane Williamson has done. I think the next tournament is the ICC Champions Trophy, I think, Tanish, in Pakistan earlier next year, so it's a bit of a relevant series, to be honest, but exciting times for both sides. Let's move on to the final, the big final, and it's South Africa taking on India, both undefeated in the tournament, basically the best two teams in it. It's good to see Quinton de Kock back in form, from a South African point of view. And I think the big matchup is between spin and the middle order of South Africa. You've got Stubbs, Klaas and Miller. And then you've got Jadeja, Akshar Patel and Kuldeep Yadav, who's having a really good tournament.
Yeah, no. It is that is a good matchup, yeah. But Jadeja's a little bit of a bit questionable at the moment because he's been a little bit out of form with the ball, and he's not really at his best at the moment with in T20 cricket. So I'd say the matchup will definitely be good between Akshar and the batsman, as well as Kuldeep and the batsman. So, yeah.
India, they haven't won a World Cup since 2011. Will they choke again, or do you have faith?
Oh, mate.
Well, they have choked, to be fair.
Yeah, no, no. It's like it's basically like choker versus choker in this final at this point.
That's true.
So, you see, I think I have faith in the Indian team. They might win. They might lose. Something might happen. Maybe South Africa could create history and win their first final. So anything could happen at this point.
What does it mean for defeat for South Africa if they go down?
Nothing changes, really.
Well, at least they've created history and got into the final. So
they've flown under the radar this tournament, which is good. Right. But their middle order is elite. They've got David Miller, who's a great finisher, good player against spin, and I think Heinrich Klaassen is probably the best white ball batsman of spin right now. So it'll be a really good matchup, Toby.
Yeah, I think so. I think that South African team, I think it's definitely right. If they lose, it's probably business as usual. If India loses, that's something quite bigger. I'd love to see South Africa win a trophy, mainly because I don't want to see India win one. But
as long as the Poms don't win.
Yeah, anyone but England. So no, it's going to be a great final.
Waving the flag.
It's going to be a great final. I think India wins, however.
I just want to say one quick thing. Yep. I'll be wearing, and for the next episode, I'll be wearing something that if India wins. So I've got a surprise there.
It's an Indian cricket kit. It's coming into the studio if they win. Is that what's happening?
We'll see. I got something else planned as well.
Well, look at him go. All right. Jerry, who do you think will win?
I think India will win.
India? Jason?
Oh.
Come on.
Come on. It's more of an underdog thing. Let's go South Africa.
Let's go. All
right. Give them their win.
It's time to speak some Euros.
Yeah, so the Euros are heading up. We're heading into the knockout stages, which starts Sunday morning. But we've got a few results that I want to quickly cover. And it's about some of the favourites or those kind of outside chances. But we'll start off with England. So they drew 0-0 with Slovenia. I felt like the pace of the ball wasn't great. They were, you know, having slow build-ups towards the play. And it wasn't really any chances inside the box. So they had Trent Alexander-Arnold and Foden having two shots outside the box, and they didn't really do much for those shots. And the stats show that they pretty much dominated the game but didn't produce on the scoreline. So they had 12-4 shots, 74% to 26 possession, and 6-0 corners. So if England want to progress further, they have to start converting from within the box.
They haven't won a World Cup since, I believe, 1966. So the pressure on them to finally win something is, you know, astronomical.
I still think they're going to choke.
I don't think we're all hoping. Well, they play Slovakia, so they should get that done. I don't think we know any good players from Slovakia, Jason.
I cheered for Slovenia drawing 0-0 because I do have Slovenian in my family ancestry. But other than that, I couldn't name you Slovakia, sadly.
Oh, well.
Yeah, we had another game as well. We had Georgia defeating Portugal in the final group stage 2-0. So that was another upset. They just played really good counter-attacking football. They let Portugal have majority of possession. So it was 73-27 possession and 11-1 corners. So Portugal did have a lot of a play. But when Georgia counter-attacked, they scored quite heavily. And Portugal also had 22-7 shots. So, again, I just don't see Portugal progressing past the quarterfinals, in my opinion.
How's Ronaldo been playing?
Yeah, I think he's done.
He's cooked.
He's done.
Oh, can we not? Can we?
Oof. Liam pulled out the chicken for that.
Speaking of Ronaldo, did anyone see the video of his where he waved off a fan who was fan over some sort of like thing that he was involved in?
No, but I saw the video of him when he got subbed off and he was horrible. He did. Very bad. I don't think he realizes that he's almost 40, to be honest. I think he still thinks he's
in good shape though.
Impeccable shape.
Any other takeaways, Jerry?
Yeah, well, France drew with Poland 1-1, Mbappe scoring and Lewandowski. Again, France didn't look too convincing, but I think they should progress further through. And also, Austria defeating the Netherlands 3-2. They look like a bit of a dark horse, to be honest. Sabitzer is on fire. I think Justin mentioned it on Monday. They were just a bit more clinical than the Dutch. They had 5-2 shots on target. And yeah, I think Austria might be a team to watch out for, Liam.
Absolutely. Sabitzer has been great for Dortmund last season. So Plenty to look out for in the Euros. Let's take a break. Plenty more coming up, including the AFL round preview. That's next. It's Desk, and it is time for some footy.
As the old adage goes, sink or swim. For the Demons, they started the season flying.
Melbourne made their only season statement.
As for the Lions, they couldn't get out of first gear.
We created a little bit of a fortress for ourselves, and right now that's been challenged.
But what's that other age-old expression? Ah, yes. This season is full of twists and turns. Week by week, Brisbane are mauling their way back into top eight contention.
The Lions starting to roar.
Whilst the team of the red and the blue more resemble black. Tonight, these two teams meet at a crossroad inside the Coliseum that has brought them both memorable thrillers.
Brisbane Lions, true to a prelim final. That is all she wrote. Jack Melcher. It is there!
A rivalry is brewing. Victory tonight will determine what twist and turn their season takes next.
Isn't it hot here? And it will be definitely hot up north where Brisbane take on the Melbourne Demons on Friday night footy. And let's have a look at the ins and outs. For Brisbane, Darragh Joyce is back alongside Will Ashcroft, which is huge. Out is Jack Payne and Shadu Brain. For Melbourne, it's Jake Lever back, Tajwo Woden, and debutant Andy Moniz-Wakefield. Out is Salem, Kynan Brown and Blake Howes. Toby, this is a big game. They're playing really good football, the Lions. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's not quite there yet, but it's a little bit season-defining, this game. The Lions, they got Melbourne's number at the start of the season. At the G, it was one of their few wins to kick off the year. But a huge in, a mammoth in for the Brisbane Lions. Will Ashcroft coming back, I think it's 11 months since he did his ACL. And then Darragh Joyce, a little bit of a surprise for Lions fans
Former
this
Saint.
Week. Irishman Darragh Joyce back in to the fold. Jack Payne, I'm told, is just an ankle, nothing too serious. He'll be out for a week.
Lions are playing really good football. In the last 6 weeks, they are ranked number one for scores per inside 50, Jason, and Hipwood and Danaher are flying.
Yes, and when they are flying, they are scoring high and they are bringing them back into contention, as I think it is plain to see across the AFL community. And any venue in Australia is Coliseum quantity when these two teams go at it. My tip is going to be Brisbane as they defend their Coliseum tonight.
Jerry?
Yeah, I think Melbourne are getting battered after their performance against North. I think Hipwood and Danaher will prove too strong, and Oliver's just a shell of his former self.
Sure is.
Yeah, I know. I think Brisbane could win this one. The performances from Hipwood and Danaher, like Joey said, that it was just absolutely brilliant. So I think Brisbane are favourites for this one.
They can still make top four, I think, Brisbane, which is pretty amazing from where they were. No one really seems to want that fourth spot.
No, well, bang on. There's no really further comment added. As long as Sydney sit on top, fourth is pretty much, you could pretty much take that as ninth spot, really. I will say, surely, even though Melbourne are pretty good with adversity in the past, Jerry, surely if they do, maybe they can channel some newfound belief and try and come out firing, right?
Yeah, you never know what they can produce. I think if Bailey Fritch can kick a few goals, then there might be a chance, but he got locked down last week as well, so we'll see.
It's weird how for nearly a year now we're still criticising Melbourne's forward line.
Still a problem.
One thing. Are we going to see like Charlie Cameron score some goals tonight?
Surely we're going to get the motorbike out.
Been a bit quiet last couple of games, eh?
Well, for the season, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Cameron's that he's obviously the key small or the main small forward in that Brisbane forward line. But
probably in the game too.
Someone that's been coming in, Cameron Rayner, has been playing well down forward. Mm. But when he plays in the midfield, is when he's most dangerous. So if he has more midfield minutes tonight, that can open Cameron up to a little bit more space.
Last time they played against each other at the MCG, Brisbane smacked Melbourne, and Cam Rayner, as you said, starred, so should be good game, I should say. Let's move on to Saturday night, Saturday Arvo's game, and it's North Melbourne taking on the Western Bulldogs. Kalen Dawson is in for North Melbourne. George Wardlaw is injured. For the Bulldogs, they get Aaron Norton back, Oscar Baker and Sam Darcy, and the outs are Baku Kamis, Caleb Daniel is dropped, and so is Anthony Scott, Jason.
All of us in this room owe Jerry an apology for how we were treating North Melbourne last week. They actually showed us something on Saturday night. Jerry, on behalf of the entire team, we apologise. That was a great performance. Oh, we were mocking North Melbourne's attendances. We were thinking Melbourne are going to smack them. And they showed us something, and they nearly got the win, and they probably did deserve the win in the end.
I think it might be just you, mate. I did not. I actually supported North Melbourne.
I remember.
I chased North,
yes,
too.
That's correct.
No, I think I had a go at North.
Yeah,
I think I threw Jerry under the bus as well a couple of times.
You asked me a few questions last
week. It turned into an interrogation yourself, that's Jerry. Right. Sorry, I said Jerry. Toby. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Jerry?
Oh, I think having Norton and Darcy back, our tall timber is going to give us some problems. And with Wardlaw out in the midfield, who's going to win our clearances? I think
LDU.
LDU can, but we also need that extra, you know, that Wardlaw can bring. I think he'll be a tough watch tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Larky v. Jones will be a fun little matchup as well.
Yeah, he's in good form, isn't he?
Yeah, he's becoming a very strong stalwart for the Bulldogs' defence, which has been a weak point recently. Other than that, North have been pretty inspiring the last 2 weeks. I say that with no irony. If there's a team that could drop the winnable one, it is the Dogs, I will say. Do you think that's a valid point, Jerry?
Yeah, I think that's pretty valid, mate.
Toby?
And the Dogs need to win, so it's almost, this is their game to lose, really. Norton, Darcy in, they're huge, but yeah, if anyone's going to lose to North Melbourne,
Norton needs to be firing for it to be beyond doubt.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he'll fall asleep and then it becomes very tough for the Dogs at that point.
Look, if I'm being honest, I think North will give Bulldogs a tough time for a majority amount of the game, but I think Bulldogs could sneak in a win in the end. But, yeah, I think North are going to do fairly well.
Yeah, Liam, I agree with Tanish. I think the Dogs win, but they do not win comfortably.
Okay. Let's move on to another afternoon game tomorrow, and it's Sydney taking on Fremantle at the SCG. The Swans are flying, they are unchanged, and for Fremantle, they get Draper and Brandon Walker back. Alex Pearce has broken his arm, the skipper, so that's really bad news, and Carl Warner is dropped. Jason, it's just Swans for me. Fremantle are no good.
With no good, and they sit fifth.
They're no good. I'm sorry.
Anyone, is that a chicken comment? No, no one wants to do it. Ooh, okay. Interesting. Losing your captain and being a defensively minded team is going to be a big struggle. I've also admired the work of Josh Tracy in the forward line in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. But I think I am with you. Sydney, for me, they are rolling.
Yeah, no, it'll be Sydney comfortably, I think. They don't look like stopping, and there's no changes. You don't change what's
don't
working
change a winning
for them.
Formula, really.
Exactly. So they're looking excellent, the Swans.
You look at the ladder and you go Sydney, then daylight, then Carlton, then even more daylight, really.
Exactly. It's a fair point.
I don't know. I won't
I don't know about
butt in, but I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Sydney will be way too strong.
Yep, Sydney's going to win this one. I've also read that Alex Pearce might be out of next year's AFL season, if I'm correct.
That bad.
This season.
End of the season?
Yeah.
I read like was next season, maybe?
Probably. Well, it'll depend on recovery, won't it? It'll depend
it's
on
two
recovery.
Two fractures, so pretty bad.
You'd have to have complications or an infection for that to go ahead.
I'm no doctor, Jason.
Neither am I.
Let's move on to Gold Coast and Collingwood at People First Stadium on the Goldie. And Ben King is back for the Suns, as well as Nick Holman. And Jake Rogers has been dropped, and Brandon Ellis is out. For the Pies, they get some huge ins. They get Markov, Pendlebury, Majacek, DeGoey, and Joe Richards back. And out is Dean, McRae, Schultz, Reef McInnes, and Tu Jaff.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good game, and we've got the big guns and Joe Richards back as well, so that's nice to see. Hopefully Collingwood win this one.
Toby, I ask you this question simply because this has got to be the biggest test Gold Coast have. There is a lot of big guns coming back for Collingwood here, but you do look at, there has been good form with say, a Lachie Schultz or a Reef McInnes. Is it a bit of a revolving door, would you think, or now they're really gearing up again, the Pies?
No, I think the Pies are about to go up a gear. This is incredible. When the teams came out last night, I thought it was incredible. I'll skip over Markov. Pendlebury, Majacek, and DeGoey to come back into a team, for a team that are now going to push this last, was it 7-8 weeks into a season? Mm. I think they're starting to find that cohesion and that similar starting 22 coming into, yeah, this back half. And the Suns have had a really weird season.
Is it just because of home win, away loss, and
yeah,
that's all
a
it
little
really
bit,
is?
A little bit, yeah. But when they've gone on the road, they haven't looked good. But then at home, they look incredible.
Undefeated, so.
Undefeated. And Darwin games too. They beat Geelong by 60 points. Yeah. Do we want to continue that trend and say Gold Coast with the biggest win of the season? That'd be upset of the year if they pull that off, even though it's at home. I'll go conservatively Collingwood, I'll say, Liam.
Okay.
Very conservative pick.
All right, let's move on to the Crows and the Giants. For the Crows, Taylor Walker, Riley O'Brien and Elliot Himmelberg are back. Borlase has been dropped. Strawn is out and Schoenberg. For the Giants, they get Perryman back, Stephen Cornelio and Isaac Cumming. Out is Peatling, Angwin and Xavier O'Halloran, the X-Man. Toby, the Crows are in desperate need of a win.
Yeah, I would almost say the Giants are almost really needing of a win as well, but the Crows, desperate. These two teams have played the Swans in their past two games. Each of the Giants played them last week, and then 2 weeks ago before the bye, the Crows played them. And I thought the Giants looked a little bit better than the Crows did against the Swans. I guess that's sort of the standard this season.
And if you're the team that has a Marty kicking nine on you, of course you're going to look a bit worse, aren't you?
Well, the thing is, they looked good for a half of football, and then there was just the Amarty show from about halfway through the second quarter.
They roll you into a false sense of security, the Swans, don't you? They give you a head start.
They
like
did
golf
that,
where they have handicaps.
They did that night, but no, I think at home, I think the Crows get this one done. I think that's a bit of an upset, but I like the look of the Crows ends, Walker, O'Brien, Himmelberg. I think that's pretty handy.
Hmm. Jerry or Tanish, any thoughts?
I like Cornelio in the midfield for the Giants, so I'm going to pick the Giants.
Yeah, I'll go with Giants as well.
What's your pick, Liam?
It's a good question, Jason. I think the Giants, I mean, the Crows are pretty good at home, pretty handy in Taylor Walker, but he's had back problems. They're just not playing a good brand of football at the moment.
Such a letdown.
Yeah.
Such a letdown, given how much optimism we had going into the year. They win and they can. It's one step closer to saving their season, the Crows. For the Giants, they're the kings of the road. Well, life is a highway for them, and they're the kings of the road. So let's say GWS on that note, and that puts them one step closer to securing a more comfortable top eight position.
Well, it was only 15, 20 minutes from the Battle of the Bridge last week against the Swans that the Swans just conceded 5-6 goals, and the game's done there. So
remember when I thought that would be game of the year?
Oh, well.
Bad omen.
All right, let's go to Saturday night, and it's the Cats against the Bombers at the MCG. For the Cats, they get Lawson Humphreys, who I believe is a debutant. Shannon Neal and Mitch Nevitt are back. Tom Hawkins is injured with a foot injury. That's 6 to 8 weeks out for him. Oliver Henry is out, and so is Auslan Mullen. For the Bombers, they get Goldstein and Gresham back. Caddy has been dropped, and Kelly is out.
This is the game for the Bombers, I think. I know Geelong haven't been lighting the world on fire this year, but this is the game for them where they get found out. Are they a serious top four or five team, or are they the Essendon that we think is going to happen and sort of slide away a little bit, Liam?
Yeah, Jason just biting his tongue. I agree. I think the Bombers should win. The Cats, is it of end of an era? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Chris Scott will want to rebuild. I don't think it's in his body to do that. Dangerfield is back, so at least that's something. He didn't get suspended. But, Jerry, I think it's Cats for you, Bombers.
I still think Essendon are pretenders, so I'm going to go...
You just hate Essendon. Yeah.
But if they win this Saturday, Jerry, they're not pretenders.
Yeah, so if they win against Geelong, then I'll change my mind.
It would definitely... Apologise to Jason. It would definitely lock them in for finals if they win games like these.
Yeah.
No comment.
I think Essendon could get this win this one against Geelong.
All right, let's move on to Sunday, and it's the Saints up against the Port Adelaide Football Club. Both teams under a lot of pressure, more so, I think, under Ken Hinckley, and it's at Marvel Stadium at 1 o'clock. Jason.
Gee, what's new? Ken Hinckley under pressure from everyone. Travis Boak, Lockie Jones, Will Lorenz in, out as Sava Radically with an injury. Jace Burgoyne injury. Jed McKenty has been omitted from Port Adelaide for St Kilda. Liam... Wanganeen Miller, Webster and Sharman back into the side. Tom Campbell, Zach Jones and Zane Cordy all omitted.
Can't argue with that. I've got to feel bad for Tommy Campbell. He's been working hard in the VFL for years and I can only get one game. Zach Jones, I don't expect he'll play another game for the club. I think he's done. I think he's absolutely cooked. Toby.
Yeah, it's three omitted. That's quite rare. But yeah, Tom Campbell... Stiff. It's a bit stiff, isn't it, realistically? He's been around forever and can't string more than one or two games. I think you're right about Zach Jones. He looks, the last probably month, he's looked slow. He's just, I don't know, it just doesn't look like Zach Jones of 5 or so years ago. Wanganeen Miller coming back in and Cooper Sharman excites me. But in the same thought, Travis Boak and Lockie Jones coming in for Port excites me. And then Will Lorenz on debut. I've watched a fair bit of his footy. He looks very good, and as an underager last year, I thought he was fantastic.
How is Warren Treadray, Toby, on the board, given his comments saying Ken Hinckley's tenure as coach is untenable, and he's elected on the board?
That's putting a board matter into the public, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't think Ken Hinckley would want him on the board, given he doesn't want Ken as coach. Is that fair?
Gee, it's hard to comprehend that situation, isn't it? Wow.
I know the members did vote him in, which is fair, but surely David Koch or someone could have, you know, changed the
rules.
Deem
it a conflict of interest of some sort, yeah. Jerry, speaking of an on-field perspective for Port, they can recover from this, surely?
Yeah, their defence has been worrying me, and with Radaglia, I mean, he hasn't been showing too much, but, I mean, St Kilda struggled with scoring as well, so, you know, it could be either way. I might tip St Kilda here.
Oh, thank you.
The Saints, though, they are kind of bumbling around trying to work out what the heavenly virtues of playing is. I'll go Port.
Yeah, I'm going Port as well. I just can't do it. Can't get around St Kilda because... it's always a curse for me when I'm tipping them or when I'm not tipping them. So, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I repeat, they should relearn the heavenly virtues.
The pressure cooker on the sports desk.
What is that?
You don't know what it is. It is the pressure cooker.
I think that's my first pressure cooker, Liam. And it's still frying. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah, it is a long pressure cooker. What is a pressure cooker, by the way?
Oh, it's an ambiguous term, isn't it?
Yeah, is it? All right. Normally, the pressure cooker on the sports desk goes to a coach or a team, but for me, this week, it goes to Todd Marshall from the Port Adelaide Football Club. He's kicked 20 goals in 14 games, which is okay, but 9 of those goals have been against North Melbourne and Richmond. He kicked 5 in Tassie against North Melbourne and 4 against the Tigers, a defence-depleted Richmond. And I think Port Adelaide would have expected him to be much better than what he's putting out. I think it's fair. High draft picks in the teens not that long ago. And given Charlie Dixon, you know, is out for an extended period of time, I think he needs to step up.
They're running into a similar problem that a couple of clubs had last year, where their engine room is damn near unpenetrable, but defence and forward are significant weaknesses. Oh, well. Anyway, Richmond Carlton.
Yep. So Jacob Hopper comes back into the team, as well as debutant, I believe, Jacob Blight, and then Sam Banks is in. Tom Lynch is out again with injury, a hammy. Noah Campbellan omitted. Thompson Dow omitted. And for the Blues, Adam Scherer is back with Corey Durden out.
Yeah, I think Carlton are just ticking along. I think they're the second best team in the comp at the moment. They've probably proven that this season and probably into last season as well. Don't see a way Richmond can keep this one under 10 goals, Jerry, to be honest. I think Carlton's forwards are incredible, and then you go the one-on-one matchups for Richmond's forward line against that Carlton back six. I don't know which line of the ground they're, which battle they're going to win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty dark day for Matilda and Justin. And
as even, you smile.
Even Grimes out. So, yeah, that's huge, and Carlton will get done by over 60.
Yeah, I think it'll be a massive thrashing from Carlton here. Richmond will probably get destroyed at halftime, so Carlton's going to win this one.
All right, let's go to the last game of the round, and it's the Eagles at home taking up against the Hawks, who are flying. So we've got Tim Kelly in for the Eagles, as well as Harley Reid, and Jack Petrocelli and Jack Hutchinson is out for the Hawks. They get Harry Morrison, and Luke Bruce is managed. This is a really interesting game. Eagles at home, they're quite good. They get Harley back, Tim Kelly, but the Hawks, they are just
punching
so good
above
at the
their
moment.
Weight. They are punching above their weight, Toby.
Yeah, they are. They definitely, I mean, they beat Brisbane a couple of weeks ago. They keep winning these games, or at least putting in the contest for four quarters. But I think West Coast have shown enough at home this year the boost of Harley Reid, the boost of Tim Kelly. I can see, obviously, Petrocelli being out is a bit of a loss, but the boost of those two players coming in, it's hard to see West Coast losing over in Western Australia.
Even in defeat, there's optimism surrounding the West Coast Harleys right now. I reckon they will be my prediction for this. This actually could be a very strong contender for sleeper hit of the round.
Jerry?
I think Hawthorn's winning streak will come to an end. I think with Kelly and Reid back, it will be huge in that midfield.
Yeah, look, I think this will be game of the week, I reckon. Both teams look pretty good, but I think West Coast could get a victory on this one with Harley Reid back.
Can't wait for the footy. That just about wraps us up for another wonderful Sports Desk Friday edition. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you on Monday.